What is up, everyone? Happy December 14th, Tuesday. This is your episode for Locked On Cavs for that Tuesday, December 14th. I'm Chris Manning, one of the co-hosts here. Evan Damrell's with me. We're going to talk about Cavs Heat, do a little deep dive into that game, give it our normal awards, MVP, stat of the night, play of the night, and we're going to talk about Kevin Love, because Kevin Love deserves some flowers as we talk about what is going on with this Cavs team right now. I want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions you don't want or need, and can even negotiate better deals on those that you want to keep.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Also want to thank you for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Remember, we're free and available on all platforms. Evan, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Not a whole lot, man. Kind of losing my voice a little bit, so sorry if I sound a little froggy to everyone. Kyler Murray is ruining my playoff chances in fantasy, but the Cavs keep winning, so I'm like that meme of that cat who's crying, giving the thumbs up. That's me right now.
Do you also have the game on your phone right now?
No, I had it on in the press box, and Mac Robinson kept pointing out all the plays to me, because I'm like, I listen, I need Kyler to have a good game, and Kyler's not having a good game. At least I have Cooper Kupp in my Dynasty League, so that's what I keep telling myself is, like, again, the crying cat emoji, the meme giving the thumbs up, that's me. But I think the Cavs culture is better than Heat culture.
Okay. See, this is what you do. You stir, you try to create drama. You take a big slippery water bottle I'm going to have to edit out in post. You're creating work for me. This is just what you do, Evan. And I respect the bit.
I coughed during the intro and said, Jesus, sorry, Chris.
Oh, I wrote it down on my... I have a nice little notepad, little sticky pad here for my ads. And I also wrote a put. I know where Evan coughed. So I have to cut it. Because that's what we do. I'm looking out for you, buddy. You know, I got you.
My allergies are bad. I can't help it.
Kill me. Anyway, Cavs Heat. Cavs win again. Evan, officially, we mentioned...
It was a hot win.
Yeah, we mentioned this. Okay. We mentioned this on yesterday's show, but the Cavs are now over five games over 500 for the without LeBron James for the first time since the year 2000, which is insane. And the Cavs are...
I was 7 years
we
old.
We were both 7 years old. 1993, shout out. But they win at home, beat the Heat for the second time this season, 105-94 again. The Heat don't have Jimmy Butler, don't have Bam Adebayo. Put the caveats on it as you want to, but the Cavs win. Kevin Love has 23 points, a new season high for him. Both of his two highest scoring games this year against Miami. Darius Garland had 16 and 5 assists. Isaac Okoro had 18 and 7 of 12 shooting, including a 4 of 8 night from 3. Lowry Markkanen had 12. Mobley had kind of a night, nine, at least offensively, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 3 of 11 from the field. Rubio at 7 and 7 off the bench. Lamar Stevens played 13 minutes, and we saw Jody Osmond be the cameo guy in this game for 6 minutes. Jimmy Bickerstaff, you asked him post-game, did say that it was just like a rotation thing. I'm calling that a coach fib. I'm not going to call it a lie, but I'm going to call it a fib. I don't know if I totally believe, like, that could be some coach covering there. I don't know if
well,
I totally
Well, that's why I followed up with, is everything okay, to give yeah. JB the floor to say, hey, Jetty's back is flaring up, but nothing
I
worth
I
yet.
I mean, I still don't know if I totally buy that, if we're just keeping it on the straight and narrow here. My sus detector went off there. But, Evan, your big takeaway from Cavs Heat, what do you have a big one aside from your troll answer?
I mean, in all the grand scheme of things, the Cavs are roughly one third of the way into the season at this point, give or take. And they are a top four team for the time being in the Eastern Conference, and that's pretty impressive. I had no idea that they would ever be here. I don't think a lot of people had any idea they'd be here. Vegas certainly didn't. Us with Ben or Axelrod certainly didn't. Per Cleaning the Glass, I tweeted this after the game, but I don't know if it's changed since then, but they're on pace to win 51 games this season, which is absolutely bonkers. That hasn't changed whatsoever, so like that's absolutely insane to think about. I don't think they're going to hit 51 games this year. But other than that, it's just like Isaac Okoro is really turning the corner. I hope this sustains. I hope this keeps, and you know, give you your flowers as well because you think it will. So, yeah, this is just a fun Cavs team. Like, I'm enjoying myself. I think this team's having fun. Like, it's just – it's weird, man. Like, by no conventional sense of the word should this basketball team work, especially when they lose one of their best scorers. But they keep on doing it. They keep on hanging, and they keep on finding ways to win.
Yeah, this Cavs team is just they're, again, this is going about as well as you could have wanted. I mean, Jared Allen talked postgame about how, you know, they've performed against, like, this really good schedule, all this stuff. Like, it has gone really, really well for them in a way that I think, you know, we couldn't expect. They're the fourth seed in the East right now. The East, as
they
of right
home
now.
They have home court in the first round of the playoffs right now.
I mean, yeah, just the fact they're, like, the play right now is, like, crazy. And, we don't know if this is going to hold. There's, like, a lot of, like, teams packed together, kind of packed together in the East right now still. Like, you know, like, the 11-seed Hawks have 13-14 after they lost to Houston, the Cavs, and Wednesday tonight. But the Nets are 19-8.
The Hawks lost to the Rockets?
The Hawks did lose to the Rockets, I do believe.
Oh, my goodness. They were up big.
Yeah, Brad Rollins' tweets about this were quite funny. Shout out Brad Rollins. The Hawks 19-8, the Bulls 17-10, and the Bulls just had two games, I believe, postponed due to COVID protocols. I'll play later. That could come into play at some point. The Bucks are 18-11, and the Cavs, your Cleveland Cavaliers, who wore their throwbacks, that city jersey, the brand that they call, is the last time they'll wear it in the calendar year of 2021, which is a bummer because
people didn't understand that, and that's why I had to put in parentheses they play the Pacers in January is when they wear them again.
Yeah, people just got to think. Cavs 17-12, Heat are 16-12, Wizards 15-12. So, like, this is, again, a tightly packed Eastern Conference, but the Cavs are truly in the thick of it. They are 29 games into the season. They're in the thick of it. Like, you can't really ask for anything more. Again, like, I think there are questions about some of the stuff. I think we'll get into that perhaps later in the week, some of the things that popped up in this game. And we talked a little bit about it in the Kings game as well, and just some of the things that flared up and have caused some issues and looking at roster construction and things. But, like, this team's just legitimately good. I think if there's one little minor thing that I was thinking about tonight, and I thought about it in the Kings game as well, it's just that I think if you are going to be bullish on Colin Sexton and optimistic about him and optimistic about, like, the fact that he could be part of the score moving forward, depending on how high or lower you are on him, right? And or, like, even next year that he could help this team, depending on what happens with Rubio and all of this stuff, right? There's definitely some roster construction questions we have, I think, beyond what this team is right in this moment. And depth is, I think, probably one of the biggest concerns that I would have about them kind of sustaining some of this to some degree. But if you, like, look at this team, there's just clearly a need for, like, another ball handler. And they, like, I would love to see how the Cavs would have to handle, like, this is getting way far ahead, but, like, I think one of the things that we would see, like, in a possible, like, playoff scenario or something is just the pressure being dialed up, like, these guys getting really grinded on, and how the Cavs handle that would be, like, a big growing and a real painful experience for them to some degree, and they could get pressed in that way, and it would just be interesting to see. And that's, like, where Sex, you could see, like, even if it's not the role that maybe, like, one of the big what-ifs of the season will just ultimately be, like, Sexton and him, the role he was morphing into and what that the end result of that would have been, like, what that would have meant for Okoro, what that would have meant for the whole roster and the team's kind of payroll going forward and all of that. But, like, just in terms of the practicality of what they'd be now, like, you can just see how, like, that kind of player could really help them navigate some of their trickier moments and when they're just trying to play offense right now.
Yeah, no, that's the interesting thing, because there were times against Miami, especially, where the offense really bogged down, and like you said, in playoff scenarios, the pressure certainly dialed up to an 11. It's I mean, I know it's a best-of-seven series, but a lot of these teams try to really
press it, maybe, in the series even as quickly as possible. Game-to-game adjustments are so different. Like, you'll see, like, really big swings from game-to-game or over the course of a couple games versus now, where it's like you can there's a little more of a standard flow to things.
Yeah, and, like, a team like Milwaukee, you can't really carbon copy that, but they more or less gave you a little bit of a template on how to really frustrate and shut down the Cavs, and you throw a very good defender at Darius Garland. So that's why, like, I want to see them play the Heat at full strength, because PJ Tucker was giving Evan Mobley problems throughout the night. I think Bam Adebayo would give Jared Allen a little bit more resistance than Dwayne Dedmon would. I think you throw Jimmy Butler on Darius Garland, and I think this game goes a lot differently, too. And, like, Kyle Lowry's no slouch either, so you could alternate between Lowry and Butler in that scenario, too. So, like, this Miami team is equipped to beat this Cavs team in a playoff scenario. Milwaukee definitely is. They haven't played Philly yet. That's an interesting team. I think could really hang with, like, Tyrese Maxey is awesome this year. I question how Doc is using him essentially as a very short Ben Simmons in the dunker spot, but oh well. Tyrese Maxey's playing really well. Like, I think he would kind of give Darius a little bit of a run for his money too. Like, there are some interesting teams that the Caps could end up facing in the playoffs if they do make it, whether it's through the play-in or whether it's through being a top six team. And I'm just kind of interested to see how they handle that pressure. And yeah, you're absolutely correct. They do need, like, a secondary shot creator and ball handler, because this is another game where you see Ricky Rubio coming back down to earth and you're seeing, like, more of what you expect from Ricky Rubio on a night-to-night basis. I think it's just becoming more and more evident, especially, like, when Jetty Osman gets the hook and the game's not really going for him. Like, who are you going to lean on to get that offense? Because you're not going to get Kevin Love shooting 5 of 8 from three every single night.
Yeah.
On a night-to-night basis. And, like, teams will adjust to kind of slow down Mobley and Allen and Garland as well. And you need somebody else to step up. And I still don't know who that player is going to be for the Cavs.
Yeah. All right. Let's stop for the break. We'll get into our awards. So MVP, stat of the night, play of the night. But Evan, we are going to take a little break here first. And first, we got to tell everyone about our friends at Truebill. Truebill, as we said at the top of the show, is changing the way that you have to worry about subscriptions, and it's a new app that's going to help save you money and save you some issues with different people. Like, on average, people with Truebill are saving $720 a year with Truebill, because sometimes did you know that free trials can renew without your consent? It's a business scam that is out to get you, so don't let those corporations pocket your money. So download Truebill and take control of those subscriptions. Companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, and Truebill makes it easy to actually cancel them. All you have to do is link your accounts, and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in just one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions. Don't fall for those subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedInNBA. Again, go to Truebill.com/LockedInNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedInNBA.
Today's episode of Locked On Cavs is also brought to you about Stance. Founded in 2009, Stance Apparel represents a radical reinvention of socks, underwear, and active apparel. With a sharp focus on comfort, quality, and creativity, Stance brings an atypical aesthetic alongside some of pop culture's hottest collaborators for the ultimate in style and self-expression. Because everything you wear should be a direct extension of who you are and how you feel. I just want to share with you guys some of my favorite designs. I am a Stance connoisseur. I have a very large collection of their Cleveland Cavalier socks. I also have a lot of Disney ones. I also have a lot of Office ones, Star Wars, The Goonies, Harry Potter, Marvel, Bob Marley. They even have the MLB, Pixar, the Wu-Tang Clan, Batman, you name it. There's just so many, and like, my socks just literally feel like I'm wearing a cloud on my feet. It's just so dang comfortable, and like, even especially like, and they come in like thin socks, they come in thick socks, so like, even when you're in these harsh Cleveland winters, even though it's mild right now, you can look stylish while you're keeping yourself warm and cozy while curled up on the couch. Stance believes that the perfect fit matters more than fitting in. That those who feel good do good. Go see for yourself. Register for an account on stance.com and get 15% off your first purchase. Use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to apply. Enjoy the color and comfort of a life less ordinary with Stance.
All right, Evan, let's get into our awards. I'm just going to say MVP is Kevin Love. We're going to talk about him a bunch, so I don't want to say a ton. But Kevin Love, shout out.
It's either him or Isaac Okoro. Isaac Okoro is incredible tonight, too.
It's almost like he's good at basketball.
Weird. It's I like year two Isaac Okoro. Like, Kevin Love, I like grizzled veteran Kevin Love, who's just like really reflective, saying this is the most fun he's ever had playing basketball. He loves watching this team grow and loves being a part of it. And I also love year two Isaac Okoro, where he's just kind of strutting his stuff. And every time he does media interactions, like, he's very vocal and he's very honest about how confident he is in his game. And I just really appreciate
that. Yelled the War Eagle as he walked off the podium tonight.
Yeah. That and the fact that he called himself an elite defender. Like, yeah, I resonate with that. Like, I like a little cockiness, especially from a guy who was so soft-spoken last year. I'm excited to see outspoken Evan Mobley in year two. That's all I'm going to say. He's really going to explain to people how to block.
It's not going to be like anything else. Like, it's not going to be like any more cocky. It's just going to be like the tone is going to be a little more like loud. He's going to talk louder. Like, it's not going to be anything. Yeah. The volume is turned up like half a decibel.
No, absolutely. But Chris, what was your stat of the night?
So my stat of the night is the free throw discrepancy, because the Cavs were 17 of 18 from the line and the Heat were 5 of 9. This was just like a game where the Cavs and the Heat, like in terms of like their overall kind of shooting numbers, the Cavs were better from 3, made 16 threes versus the Heat's 13 on you know, within 4 of on volume, and they shot overall pretty close in the field. The Cavs were able to just get to the free throw line, and Kevin Love in particular was able to get to the free throw line. He got there 6 times. Jared Allen got there 5. Garland got there 3. Mobley got there 4. Like those, it's those 3 guys that just took a, or 4 guys that took a bunch of free throws, and they made them. And like that was a reason the Cavs were able to pull. Like this Cavs team is like not particularly like a good offensive team, right? Like I wouldn't. They're below average, like statistically. Like this isn't a team that I think has like a.
They're super, like 20th overall last.
Yeah, it's not like a well functioning offense all the time, right? So like if they can just eke out easy points via free throws, take advantage of those opportunities, like that is just going to help them win games. It's a path to victory for them. So I for me, it's just that again, the Heat were 5 and 9 from the line. The Cavs were 17 of 18. That's a big deal.
It absolutely is. That's a huge deal. I think the Cavs, like, I don't want to play up like the whole referee disrespect thing, but maybe this is like the Cavs kind of getting some calls to go their way now, so fans can kind of stop complaining, saying the refs have a vendetta against them. There's some bad calls in the third quarter, sure, but like this free throw discrepancy is pretty clear. That like I think the Cavs are starting to get calls that like they maybe not would have gotten early in the season, and the fact that they only missed one is even more impressive. But my stat of the night pick is just the fact that Isaac Okoro. Well, no, actually, no. I'm pivoting. It's the fact that Duncan Robinson is 1 of 13 from 3-point range in 2 matchups with the Cavaliers so far. Isaac Okoro said it best. He's like, I mean, fuck. We're all playing hard on defense, but I'm really mad that he's gotten that one, because it was the Heat running a lot of switches, a lot of screens that got Robinson that look, and Okoro was the one defending him. But I don't know. Duncan Robinson is a 3-point shooter. You have to respect. He has not shot the ball particularly well this season overall, but like he still has gravity. He still has the propensity to hit threes. And the fact that the Cavs kind of established that and shut that down and more or less grinded the Heat to this win is really impressive and something I really appreciate. And it shows how adaptable they can be and how they kind of understand the assignment of who they're playing on a night-to-night basis.
Just want to say an honorable mention. Ricky Rubio became the 11th active player in NBA history to have 5,000 career assists. So congratulations to Ricky Rubio on that. That's pretty cool. All right, Evan, my play of the night. Second quarter, Darius Garland bringing the ball up the floor, hits Kyle Lowry with a hezzy and throws a lob to Jared Allen.
Good pick.
Good Lord, Darius Garland is fun as heck. He's really good, man. And like
when he's in his bag, he's super fun. Like he's playing with a swagger on his.
Yeah. You can see it like almost going a little too far at the end of game sometimes, where like he has like the turnover and like you can see him do it a little much at times, where like you want him to maybe dial it back just a tad, but like you want this creativity. I'd rather the guy be more creative than not. And the fact that like I think this hezzy is like Kyle Lowry, who is a really good defender, an NBA champion, like bona fide guy. Lowry bid on this because Darius Garland's shot-making ability as a pull-up three-point shooter has grown in leaps and bounds this year. Teams are starting to respect it, and Garland knows this, and he just hits him with the hezzy, gets into the lane, and does what he does best, which is throw lobs to Jared Allen. Good stuff. Shout-out to that.
Yeah, no, that was a really good play. That was going to be my pick for sure, but now that you stole that from me, my play of the night pick is probably just going to be one of the two assists that excuse me while I clear my throat for 1 second.
Do you want me to let me vamp for a second? Because
yeah, go ahead. No, I'm good now, man.
Okay, go.
I was just getting a little froggy. It's one of the two assists Lowry Markkanen had in the first quarter. Like Lowry was a little funky in this game. He didn't have a huge impact overall offensively. Like didn't shoot the ball particularly well. He was 5 of 13 for the night, 2 of 7 from 3 for 12 points, but he just kind of did a lot of everything. He finished the team with a team high, plus 21 in terms of plus minus. I think a lot of it has to do with these two assists. One was a three-pointer, Isaac Okoro. The other was a three-pointer, Darius Garland. I think the fact that you're seeing Lauri Markkanen play to the strengths of his God-given abilities, just being 7 feet tall, because he was in the post in both of those scenarios and kicks it out, really unlocks another asset of Cleveland's offense, especially when you have guys like Garland and Okoro now hitting those three-pointers consistently.
Yeah, I would also just say the play that Allen fed a cutting Okoro for a dunk is just it's the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I like it. It really gets me in the gabagools.
That's right.
Shots. I don't know what that means, but no, Gabagool is just a turn.
Well, you've watched Capicole, you've watched The Sopranos, yes?
Yeah, Gabagool is just Capicole.
Yeah, well, but next you need to watch Succession. I'm really just gonna publicly.
I know, I do. Now that everyone's done hyping it, I'll watch it so I can just kind of enjoy it in peace. No, to worry about seeing spoilers because I don't really pay attention to it.
The thing about that show, it's not like a spoiler. Okay, never mind. This is another podcast. Anyway, Evan. All right, after the break, Kevin Love. We're just gonna talk about him because he was again pretty good in this game and deserves, I think, some attention on what he's been. But you're gonna tell everyone about our friends at Boost Mobile.
I will. You listen to podcasts, especially Locked On Cavs, for the power of knowledge. You switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money. Because of Boost, you get the power of a free 5G phone so that you can listen to all the latest episodes of Locked On Cavs, the number one Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, and still the only Cleveland Cavaliers podcast that's locally sourced with two verified hosts. The power of three unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line so you and your family can harness all that brain power too. And with the power of one of America's largest 5G networks, you can do it all with the speed of 5G. With all that money you'll save and all the knowledge you'll gain, just how powerful will you become? Dear God, I don't even want to know. But if you want to find out, switch to Boost Mobile. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G, sounds like a plane, when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save, Boost Mobile. Disclaimer, free phone limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers coverage is not available everywhere or for all phones/networks. See BoostMobile.com for details.
All right, let's finish with Kevin Love.
Love that Boost Mobile read. Makes me feel like we're like creating evil geniuses on this podcast.
I hope not. Anyway, Kevin Love, 24 minutes off the bench, 23 points, 9 rebounds, 6 of 10 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3, 1 assist. Continues to just be an effective NBA player in kind of a stunning turnaround that he's just kind of embraced this role, that he looks healthy, that they're containing his minutes in a way that I think is good for him and the long-term ability of him to continue to do this for this team this year. The attitude from him is just clearly much better. I think like he would tell you that if he got asked about it kind of point blank, because it's like I have had him screaming on the bench as the Cavs were like nuking the Kings on Saturday, like in my brain for a couple of days, because like he was clearly the most excited guy on the sidelines as that rampage was happening and just living in it and kind of embracing everything that was coming. Like he just seems so adjusted, and like even like defensively, like there's times where he's getting beat, right? Like he got beat in this game at one point, I think by Lowry, and just was like pointing at Jared Allen, like, please cover me, please like rotate over and block the shots because I got cooked. But like Steve Jones, really good film guy, does the Dunker Spot Pod with Nikias Duncan that you should go check out. But like he like pointed out that like there's a possession where he didn't end up scoring, but the Cavs defended two different actions of pick and roll with Love and Markkanen defending it. And I'm just like, the fact that Kevin Love like held up as like a pick and roll defender, it's just like, it's wild. Like this whole Kevin Love experience has just been like kind of insane.
He's kind of really just, it's wild, man, because heading into the season, people considered his contract immovable because he was making $31.3 million. He is oft injured. He was coming off a bad showing it with Team USA. People were just kind of batting down the hatches and getting ready for another bad Kevin Love season with just bad moods overall, and he wasn't really going to play. He was coming off the bench. There's just like a lot of stuff that makes you think like this is the perfect storm for it just to be a shit sandwich altogether. Now Kevin Love kind of feels like an immovable contract because he's kind of been essential for the Cavs. He's one of the key veterans alongside Ricky Rubio and Ed Davis that's just like is building this quote-unquote culture for the Cavs, and it's a little frustrating because I think this is the veteran the Cavs always wanted out of Kevin Love for the longest time, you know, especially when he had value and was a lot more movable back then. But alas, that ship sailed, and I'm just here for the good vibes. He did say post-game, after this game, like I said, this is the most fun he's having with the Cavs right now. Like Chris said, like he was vamping up and just screaming on the sidelines when they were just obliterating the Kings. He has been hyping up all the young players. Like he was in Darius's face after a timeout and just pointing him in the chest and like hyping him up and things like that. And Darius was reverse hyping him, so it was just a maximum hype experience.
Yeah, and I think in a way that like there's another relationship of his that has, you know, let's just say been maybe not as good. Him and Darius, as far as I understand it, have been sort of on the same page in terms of their personalities and chemistries, let's say, like since like Darius was a rookie. Like Darius, I think would like like when Kevin was just boys with Clarkson, like Darius, and like Darius was, I think sometimes like hanging out with those guys. So like there is something to like they get along, let's say.
And maybe Kevin Love just has an eye for talent because he's also taken Evan Mobley under his wing too.
Well, like, I too would be like, hey, kid, who's going to be the future star of this franchise? Can we?
That's
can
what
we,
he said in post game too. Yeah. He's like this. He's the real deal. Like mm-hmm. no one really. We didn't see this coming out of summer league, but he's like, I know. He said definitively, like he knows Evan Mobley's 3-pointers will eventually start falling for Cleveland, and they'll become a more consistent shot. And his job is to kind of help him learn the mechanics, become a more proper 3-point shooter. Because let's be frank, Kevin Love wasn't a 3-point shooter coming out of UCLA. That's something he just added to his game over time, and I think he could really help Evan Mobley in that regard. I know I was a big proponent of the Cavs just buying out Kevin Love and moving on. I will admit again, I was wrong.
I think we both were like, let's just, like, I mean, I
just let it just move on.
I mean, like, literally one of my favorite pieces of NBA writing of the last year is Katie Heindahl from the Basketball Feelings newsletter wrote a piece basically just being, and I think this was for Real GM, but like in the tone of a lot of the work she does was like, like the vibes are just bad, and there's a point of just like maybe you just gotta, it's better and healthier for everyone emotionally just to like move on and not try to hold on to something that isn't there anymore. And like, I don't know, I don't necessarily even disagree that that was like on the way there because I like, well, like there's like a
divorce. Sometimes people avoid it because they just want to stay together for their kids.
But there's like a world where like I mean, clearly, like if like John Beilein was like still head coach, or they weren't like winning games this year, or like things hadn't improved. Like Kevin was miserable last year when JB was the head coach, and like obviously the pandemic was going on and all that stuff. But like things are different this year, and like he did kind of go out when he got asked about it, like after the game, he did go out his way again to credit JB, who he's known for a long mm-hmm. time, who's he's known. His family, since the Bickerstaffs and the Loves, have known each other for decades at this point. So, like, there's a trust there that I think is perhaps key in getting Kevin to kind of buy into what's going on here and to engage. Why are you snickering?
No, just I was holding my arm up and fitting in. Like, people see in the replay, there's like two white paws that just like wrap themselves around my arm. He bit me and let go. So
that little scamp,
little rapscallion.
And just like the I love, like, again, like what he is now, I think is like in a purely like basketball sense is a bench big, right? He can play 20-25 uh-huh. minutes a night. He's going to space the floor. He's going to at least compete on defense. He's going to help this team be a better rebounding team. And like, even if he's not like going to punish these post-ups in a meaningful way, or you're not going to run stuff with him through the elbow anymore, at least to the degree that like you might to kind of, I could see that being like something someone tries to just try to figure some of the offensive issues out. He like is still good enough and skilled enough and respected enough to pump fix some of these smaller guards, to get to the foul line, to at least get clean looks off when like they try to do that. Again, it's not the most efficient thing. It is not like even something he's necessarily been like good at in several years, as he's, you know, not as like large as he was at one point, frankly, like to just kind of be blunt about it. Like, I think there is like, he's just not
as powerful as he is. He's a beef kick.
Yeah. Kevin Love is like svelte and like as far as like a 240-pound man goes, but like he still can do this stuff. And like, it's just funny to think that like partially because the Cavs don't have a lot of depth, but partially because like he's been so good.
Yeah.
For the most part, that like he's just like kind of a key rotation piece. That like if he missed 7 games, I would be like, I don't know how they manage this. Like Dean Wade, like we've called like Dean Wade like dollar store Kevin Love, like budget Kevin Love, whatever. Like Dean Wade.
Some of that's in jest.
Yeah, but, some of that is in jest, but like some of that was like, oh, Dean Wade can at least shoot threes and he's going to be younger and run the floor. Like you can at least like. The value is obviously still like out of whack in terms of the contract, but like Kevin Love is like clearly just like spoiler alert, like significantly much better, like than what they were beginning if Dean Wade was like playing these minutes if they had bought Kevin Love out.
Yeah, it's weird to think what the Cavs would do. I really thought when they drafted Mobley, like it became clear like they're not going to start Kevin Love. Then they signed and traded for Lauri Markkanen. I'm like, okay, they're definitely not going to play Kevin Love. I also didn't expect them to start Lauri Markkanen at the three. I fully was equipped for. The start five to be Garland, Sexton, Okoro, Mobley, Allen to start the season, and then they'd have Markkanen to be the primary four off the bench slash five, and maybe you play Love and spot minutes, and it's weird because there it is. All things considered, defensively, like, Markkanen and Love should be a mess, but I think Mobley and Allen really covering up for them helps a lot, too. Like you said, Love was pointing to Allen, like, hey, Kyle Lowry just cooked me. I need you to cover for me. Like, they're aware of the fact they're not very good defenders, but, like, somehow the Cavs are just making this just weirdness of this roster work. And I think Kevin Love being fully bought in really helps with that, because when you have a guy who has championship pedigree, who has been to the finals four times in his career, who has numerous accolades with the Timberwolves and also with the Cavaliers as well, like, was at his apex one of the best players at his position before he came to Cleveland, and then was kind of compartmentalized and minimized, and then just general trajectory downwards. So, like, he has respect in that locker room, and he's saying and doing all the right things, where I just am genuinely surprised that this keeps happening. I'm like, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop, and now it's dropped, and nothing's going to happen. I think Kevin Love is just fully bought in. And again, if he did this earlier, maybe he would have gotten out of here, but maybe now, I don't know if the Cavs necessarily should approach trading him when he's an expiring deal, because he's extension eligible this offseason.
Well, next year...
And maybe they just sign him to an extension and let him retire as a Cavalier.
I'm going to pump my feet on that, because I, like, next year just feels like a whole other thing.
Not the same, like, arena worker money that he got, okay. But, like...
If the Cavs, like, just lean into, like, million. The bit of, like, we're going to, like, put him in front of these dudes on their lunch break, like, would honestly just be incredible. The vibes would just be erased.
Immaculate, if you will.
Evan, I'm going to end on this note, because I can't end on that, because that would really bum me out. Something I forgot to bring up before, Michael Pina from SI, who's a big, big Jared Allen head, tweeted something that caught my eye, a stat for Jared Allen. So, according to Michael, no player in NBA history has ever averaged at least 10 shots per game while shooting 70%. Above 70% from the floor. So let me repeat that in clearer words. No player in NBA history has ever averaged at least 10 shots per game while shooting over 70% from the floor. Jared Allen, right now, going into tonight's game, was averaging 10 shots a game and shooting 70.7% from the floor. At the time when Michael tweeted this, Allen was 4-4. He finished 6 of 6 from the field. That's how efficient and good Jared Allen has been this year.
He's an all-star, folks.
I think so.
All NBA for center. Who knows?
That's a little far.
He's eighth in MVP voting, according to Basketball Reference. So,
okay, I can't do this with you.
The Cavs' best player, ladies and gentlemen, Jared Allen, for now.
Yeah. Anyway, that's gonna be it. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. Make sure again, after you're done making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day, go check out Locked On Bets with gambling expert Lee Sterling and host your boy Q for the latest information on all things sports betting. Check out Locked On Browns. Check out Locked On Guardians, I think, with Jeff Ellis. Check out everything on Locked On Podcast.
Checking now, doing some research.
Even listen to Jackson Gatlin on Locked On Rockets if you want, like, some
you want to listen to the losers,
some Sengun propaganda if that's what your vibe is for ahead of Wednesday's game. But until next time, it's been Locked On Cavs. I'm Chris, he's Evan. Be well, we'll see you tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow's episode, Evan will be out. Jackson Frank from Dime, from The Analyst, from a bunch of great places. We're going to do a Darius Garland deep dive on what Garland has been and how good he's been, and get nerdy on the basketball stuff with one of my favorite people to talk hoops with, the great Jackson Frank. We'll see you tomorrow. Everyone have a good one.